Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana, and graduated from the New York University Tisch School of the Arts. In 1996, he met Mother Angelica, who convinced him to become the news director and lead anchor of her fledgling cable station, EWTN. The author of 5 books, he's also hosted a weekly TV show entitled The World Over, live since 1996. America's top Catholic anchor, his name, Ray Arroyo. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Ray Arroyo, the news director and lead anchor for EWTN. Ray, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Oh, Jack, the pleasure's mine. Thank you for having me.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Well, and my parents. I grew up in New Orleans, and it left its own mark. As any native New Orleanian will tell you, it's a hard place to shake loose. So I spent all of my childhood and till the time I was 18, I was there. And New Orleans is a very special place in the sense that it's a pretty Catholic town. Beneath the stereotype people have, I think, of New Orleans as this kind of sin city. They see Bourbon Street and think, you know, barrooms and nightclubs, and that's really not at all the experience I had living there. That is sort of our tourist area, but if you get out into the city itself and get to know any of the people in New Orleans and in the surrounding areas, you realize they're this very warm sort of mix of Germans and Irish and Black and Italian and Irish and Spanish folk, who are really bound by their faith. And it's a very faithful place in the sense that New Orleans has more prayer groups per capita than anywhere in the Union. Church attendance is very high there. It's a place that takes their faith very seriously. So that also has marked me in a way because my faith is sort of like the air I breathe. It's a normal part of everyday living. It's not something extraneous from my work or my life. It's always there.
Ray, when did you realize you wanted to be in the news business?
Well, I didn't, like all of us, I don't think anyone dreams of being in the news business. And once you're here, you really shouldn't dream of it. But my first love was always the theater. It's funny you bring up New Orleans. My grandmother just passed away about 2 weeks ago. And she was very important to me, I mean, for many reasons, but one of germs, I think, that she planted, seeds that she planted in my life, was at a very early age, she had season tickets to a theater downtown, the Sanger Theater, a beautiful old theater on the Sanger Circuit, and touring companies would come through, all the Broadway companies. So my grandfather continues to run a restaurant in New Orleans, so he was always so busy, he couldn't accompany her to the theater for these tickets that she had. So she would always take me. So starting at the age of maybe 9, she would take me to the theater with her at least 2 times a month. And because of that experience, I got to see Ethel Merman, Carol Channing, Rex Harrison, you name it, Ann Miller, Mickey Rooney, incredible people on stage. Rex Harrison, Richard Harris, Richard Burton. I mean, it was an amazing thing for a child to see at an early age up close. And so I had this deep love of the theater, and that's what I wanted to do with my life. And I went to New York. I studied at New York University with some of the great acting teachers, really, of our age. Stella Adler, who trained Marlon Brando and Judy Garland and so many other great people. Stella was my primary acting coach for 3 years. I was in her conservatory program via NYU. And then I studied with Uta Hagen and Beatrice Straight, who won an Academy Award for Network, was a dear friend. And I not only studied with her, I taught with her in England. And then I worked as an actor for a few years and enjoyed it, all over the U.S. and as well as in Europe, in London. So that was sort of my background and my first love. It was once I got burned out of touring, and that happens, I found the repetition sort of tedious. And a friend of mine who was a casting director suggested that, and knew that I had written pieces for my college paper and other things, little reviews and things. And she suggested that I talk to an uncle of hers who was at the Associated Press, and that was sort of my entree into journalism.
And you did that, and then in 1996, your life changes. You meet a nun, a cloistered nun, Mother Angelica. How did you ever meet her?
Yeah, well, that too is its own odd story. I was after working at the AP, I went to Washington and worked with Evans and Novak. Of course, people will remember Robert Novak, the great dean of the Washington Press Corps, the columnist who produced Capital Gang and the Evans and Novak Report and so many things for CNN for so many years. And when I was working for Mr. Novak as his reporter, and I would work on the column as well as a newsletter they were producing, a friend of mine asked me if I would be willing to write a cover story on this nun in Birmingham, Alabama, Mother Angelica. I had frankly never heard of Mother Angelica in Washington, D.C. We did not get her program, but I had heard she had founded a Catholic television network. My grandmother and mother in New Orleans, naturally, were big fans of Mother Angelica, knew exactly who she was. But that's how I met Mother Angelica. I went down to actually write a cover story about her, and as things turned out, I would continue writing about her and have up until the present moment.
When we come back, we'll ask Ray Arroyo about Mother Angelica. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crisula, and we're with Ray Arroyo, America's top Catholic anchor. Ray, 1996, you meet Mother Angelica. Your life's changed forever. Tell us about Mother Angelica.
Well, as I was telling you, I was working in D.C. at the time when I met her. And there's a kind of cute story. I went down to visit her. I did the piece that a friend of mine asked me to write on her, the kind of cover story. So I spent a few days there. I met a lot of people who worked at EWTN, her vice presidents. And then I spent a lot of time with Mother one-on-one, did an interview, walked around a lot. And we hit it off, and I think part of the reason we hit it off is Mother, first of all, was Italian, and I'm half Italian, so we understood each other. The Paisans could speak the same language. The other thing was really, Mother is a formidable woman. She's a strong woman, and some men, I think, are intimidated by that or don't particularly care for that. But I grew up with a lot of strong women, my mother, my grandmother, my aunts, my great-grandmother who lived with us, so this didn't frighten me, put me off at all. In fact, I rather like strong women. So, and I married one. But we just hit it off instantly. And there was this rapport, as if we'd known each other our whole lives. It was very candid and frank. And she asked me if I would come down and start a news division for her, start the news department. And I told her, well, I'm in conversation with other networks here in Washington. I don't know if I can do that. I'm recently married. I don't think it'll work out. So I went back to D.C. And a few months later, my wife and I were attending a congressional event, and there were all these lobbyists there. And I was very upset and tired of covering Capitol Hill and the politicians there. And on the way home, I was complaining loudly about it to my poor wife's, I think, chagrin. And we get home, and the phone rings, and I pick it up, and I said, hello. And I hear this, you ready to come down here? I said, who is this? She said, Mother. I said, this is not my mother. Who is this? She said, it's Mother Angelica. Why don't you come down here and look at the network? Bring your wife. It'll be good for your soul, she said. Well, that was when the trap was sprung. And I went down with my wife. We took a look, and we thought we were going back to the South. And the South, in my mind, was New Orleans. Birmingham, Alabama was a very different version of the South than what I grew up in. So it was a bit of a culture shock. But I went down there. I became the news director. And it has been a wild and fun and fantastic ride all these years.
Lee Iacocca said about Mother Angelica, quote, "Mother Angelica is the patron saint of CEOs." Talk to us about the business wisdom of this cloistered nun.
Well, you know, Mother Angelica was who grew up, Rita Rizzo in Canton, Ohio, was hardly a candidate for CEO of the Year when she was starting out. I mean, no one would have imagined that this child of divorce, a woman who basically failed out her junior year in high school and just barely graduated, who then went to the cloister, ran to the cloister. She grew up in an Italian slum in Canton. Her mother was who was a divorced mother. She had a single mother at home, and her mother was a very fragile personality who probably suffered from some sort of severe depression. Didn't appear to be the fertile ground for, you know, the woman who would grow up to be proprietor and foundress of the largest religious media empire on the planet. But that's what happened. And the reason I think Mr. Iacocca said she should be the patron saint of CEOs is because Mother had this stomach of steel. And one of the keys, I think, to her success is when she felt inspired, when she felt God was leading her to something, nothing would stop her. And she used to always tell me, you have to live in the present moment. And it's a great lesson, I think, for CEOs or anybody who's trying to lead or found a business. She said, you've got to live in the present moment and forget about what's ahead, and you can't rest on your laurels and look back. You have to stay exactly where you are and ask yourself, what is God calling me to do in this present moment right now? And that made her very attentive, not only to inspiration, but to the needs of the people around her, first the people in Birmingham, later groups that she spoke to, and eventually the whole country as she began broadcasting. And one step at a time, she began first giving little talks in Birmingham. Then she had a tape ministry where she had a radio show like yours, and people would send copies around. She gave talks everywhere and eventually decided, I need to start a television network. And she did it in her backyard, the backyard of her cloister, with literally $200 when she began, and absolutely no knowledge of broadcast or what it took to build a network. And yet she did it. And that's why I think Mr. Iacocca said she should be the patron saint of CEOs. She was unstoppable. And once she got something in her head and believed it was going to help others or be a source of good, she would just plug ahead.
We're talking to Ray Arroyo, the author of 5 books, one of them, Mother Angelica, the remarkable story of a nun, her nerve, and a network of miracles. Ray, why would anyone who has little interest in nuns or religion ever want to read these books?
Well, I'll tell you who has read the book. It's amazing, and I get letters all the time. I mean, that book came out, 2005 now. I get letters all the time, particularly from women, who it's really in some ways a feminist tale, Mother's Story. And I get letters from people who are agnostic, Jewish ladies, some people have no concern for religion at all. It is an amazing story of a woman who came from a very broken background and a little girl who was really forgotten and sort of marginalized, abandoned by her father, left in the care of a mother who, as I told you, had real mental difficulties. And yet she follows her lights and finds her way in the world. And not only that, she touches the lives of millions of other people. And I'll tell you the other reason. Mother Angelica is the only woman in the history of broadcast, okay, to found and lead a television network for 20 years. She's alone. Whether it's a nun or anybody else, she's the only woman to have done it. So Oprah Winfrey would like to have that honor, but Mother Angelica actually did it. She found a network and she led it for 20 years. And for no other reason but that, I think it's a great tale. For those looking for deeper meaning, there is certainly much in Mother's story about the reliance on faith and how if one is true to the promptings of God and true to yourself at every moment, even if it's painful, even if it's difficult and suffering is entailed, and Mother's story is littered with it, that God will take you to where he wants you to be, and great good is possible.
If you want to learn more, www.raymondarroyo.com. You talk about strong women. Another strong woman, another nun that both of us know well, is Mother Assumpta, who started the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, outside Ann Arbor, and they just had their first CD released, Mater Eucharistic. Tell us about Mother Assumpta.
I know Mother Assumpta so well because via Mother Angelica. In fact, it's very interesting you even bring her up. Dear friends of mine, Monica and Kevin Fitzmaurice are the producers of that new CD. And I happened to get a leaked copy, so I heard it a few weeks ago, and it's a beautiful CD. But aside from that, Mother Assumpta is really another force of nature. And again, another nun who I think is so focused on what God is calling her to. And as Providence would have it, the very last show, I used to co-host Mother Angelica's television show with her when she did Mother Angelica Live. And the very last show we did together was with Mother Assumpta. And so sitting between these two great women was quite an experience. And she is lovely, as are her sisters. I mean, they do extraordinary work. And I think people will certainly hear that in the CD. But I know the people who encounter them every day in their work in the classrooms and in their work in the community, it's extraordinary.
We're talking to Ray Arroyo, and I'm Jack Crisula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with Ray Arroyo, who's the host of The World Over every week that he does out of Washington, D.C. Ray, you've interviewed a lot of great people. Were there one or two that you walked away from and said to Rebecca, wow, that was special?
You know, I often walk away saying that. I am curious. I'm a curious person. And I also think, because I told you earlier, one of the reasons I left the theater is because I found it very repetitive and it wasn't an intellectual challenge to me. It didn't mean I didn't love the theater or the show. I did. I loved going to the theater. I loved getting ready. It was the show itself that I just found heavy labor as you went on. The beautiful thing about what I do is I have a variety of people acting, if you will, opposite me every week. And I do enjoy the challenge, and I am intellectually stimulated and spiritually touched by these people because so many of them are the giants of our time. Whether it's President Bush or Benedict XVI, when I interviewed Pope Benedict, it was an extraordinary moment. I mean, I'd known him for a number of years. I'd, you know, met him, seen him, talked with him in passing for a number of years, been to his masses. But to sit opposite this, a man who's regarded as one of the great theologians of our age, never mind, you know, this decade, it was at first intimidating, but I have to say you come away with such an understanding. I mean, I came out of that interview really understanding, I think, the trajectory of his pontificate, because it was early, it was right before he was elected. So it was really a glimpse into where he was headed, his vision for the church. And I got to see the humor, the almost mischievous humor of the man himself, which was gentle and very powerful for me. So that was an interview that will always mark me and that I carry with me. The other was Mel Gibson when he was working on The Passion, which I can't believe was 10 years ago this year. And Mel, you know, I went on the set with Mel and was involved very early on in that movie. So it was that too, you know, he's kind of got a madcap way about him, but he's always running on 10 cylinders up there. And he, just to spend time and to try to get to understand how an artist like that works. He's a very visual person, Mel, and I discovered that when with him, that he would have these startling visions in his head, and then you watched him as he almost like a crazy man would run moving, repositioning people and changing lights and moving things to try to bring that very crisp, clear vision he had into reality. And that was part of the work for him. So watching that was a real lesson, really, really, it was, you know, a real lesson in attentiveness to detail and the working of a particular artist. I've seen a lot of them, and he is very unique among filmmakers.
Another strong woman you've spent time with, Mother Teresa. Tell us about that.
Yes, Mother Teresa was really, I have to say, of all the people I've ever interviewed, and I've known, there is no one who I have felt, and again, feelings are subjective, but I have never felt so embraced, if you will, as I did the many times I spent with Mother. And I interviewed her one time, and then I saw her repeatedly after that. She had this warm, magnetic spirit, but it was tough as nails. In fact, a friend of mine, Father Benedict Groeschel, used to always say, Mother Teresa is like a bulldozer in a marshmallow forest. And I think she's right. He's right. I saw her in action a number of times, dealing with politicians and public leaders. And Mother Teresa could be tough, boy. You know, she was loving when she worked with the poor or with children or abandoned children or anyone. She always was kind and gentle, and you just felt this maternal hug when she was near. And for a little shrunken-up woman, she just had such magnetism and such warmth. I have never seen anybody like that. She was radiant every time I saw her up until the time she died. And it was a supreme honor to be in the presence of a woman that I know will be and is probably now a saint.
Speaking of saints, talk to us about John Paul II the Great.
John Paul, he was something else. Certainly, the Pope of my, you know, my life, the one I remember for the long 25 years of it. Anyway, he was amazing, and I knew him. I would often go up to the any time I was in Rome, I would go up to the papal apartment and join him for the private mass. Many times we would speak afterward. I enjoyed a lunch with him once. It was he had a great impish kind of spark that I think doesn't get enough attention. There is no doubt he was a mystic, a man of great will. And I often say when John Paul II walked into the room, particularly in his latter years, you know, he was bent up. He was bent by osteoporosis and the physicality of following the assassination attempt. It did take a toll on him. And his back seemed huge. It was like the back of a bull. But I would say when he walked in the room, it was like the 20th century was walking in on his back. He just carried the weight of that century. And yet he had this amazing focus and was a man whom I think was propelled by the Spirit in so many ways. But it wasn't like Mother Teresa, curiously enough. He didn't have that kind of radiance. Nobody was like her. She had a certain glimmer. His was a strength, like a lion walking in. There was something at once intimidating and assuring about him. So I loved him dearly. He is no doubt will be proclaimed a saint probably before the year is out, and was a man of many gifts and a pope who I think changed the papacy forever. Pope Francis, who is getting so many headlines today and the world is so captivated by, in many ways, I see reflections of John Paul in Francis.
Speaking of which, how do you explain, Ray Arroyo, the tremendous outpouring of love and respect worldwide for this new Pope, Pope Francis?
Well, I think, first of all, the world is clamoring, and what it shows you is that the world is constantly on the lookout for hope. They want a father who will give them hope, and they want clarity. And I think you have in Francis a man who is not only trying to reach that world so hungry for that leadership in word, but he's reaching them in deed by paying his bill at the conclave at the little hotel he was staying, by driving in the little Fiat instead of taking the papal limousine. These gestures, and they are gestures, I don't want to read too much into them because I frankly think the media has gotten a little, you know, this is what they usually do with celebrities. They sort of parrot each other and you know, create little hymns to the person and turn them into celebrities, and then what I worry about is after the fact, then they tear that person down. My guess is the honeymoon won't last forever for Francis, but part of what I think they're captivated by is he seems to be authentic, and he's also, because he's an American, he's a little more laid back, and I mean American in the sense of in this continent. He's a little more laid back. He's very tactile, and he wants to go down and touch people and be with them. And I think that's incredibly alluring. I think it makes for great pictures. As I wrote in National Review about a week ago, 2 weeks ago now, he has a certain messy quality. You know, he told the kids at World Youth Day he wanted them to go home and make a mess. And what he meant by that is shake things up. And I think Francis has made his own mess in some ways. And it's a glorious mess that everybody's fascinated by. And whether it's, you know, his driving a little vehicle or stopping to kiss children and stepping out of the Popemobile or making controversial comments on a plane, it is all to draw people's attention, and I think the media's attention, to his deeper message. And that's what this is really about.
Copacabana Beach, a month ago, 3 million people there for a mass. The vast majority of them were young people. Ray, what do our young people today truly crave?
Well, I think they crave what we all crave. They want to know where they're going. They want to know what this all means. They want to know what they were fashioned for, what their life is intended to accomplish. And in the Pope's reckoning, it is God is the answer to all of those questions, and you must go with him and to him for those answers. And that was the message he certainly brought to Rio. And look, I'll be perfectly candid. I'm always a little dubious about World Youth Days. They're not my cup of tea. I've just, even as a young person, I would never have gone to a World Youth Day. It's just not my thing. I would much have preferred to go to a mass or something with the Pope than to go to a big kind of jamboree, sitting out in the sun in a tent. It's just not my scene. But I understand why so many kids are coming, and they are obviously looking, I think, to have those answers, and they believe this man possesses them. So that's why I think they all turned up in such numbers. I mean, 3.2 million people, it's the largest crowd Rio has ever seen. Yeah. That's no mistake.
We're talking to Raymond Arroyo. If you want to learn more, www.raymondarroyo.com. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to America's top Catholic anchor, Ray Arroyo. Ray, you've been around these people that have truly surrendered to God. And when I'm around one of these people, the inner peace they have is unbelievable. Yet it's so hard for us to surrender. How do we surrender, and why do you explain this phenomenal inner peace when you do?
I think, you know, I can only point you to the example of these amazing people that you mentioned a moment ago who've so touched my life. I'm certainly no great icon of this surrender, but I remember Mother Teresa telling me, you know, you have to God demands total surrender of us, even if it costs your good name, even if it costs your reputation. So what? That may be the cost God is asking you to pay. And, I'm also thinking of Mother Angelica, who went through so much pain and suffering. She has been literally confined to her bedroom for the last 10 years, which is astounding to me. I mean, really, I go visit her, and I sit there, and I wonder, and you do ponder, why has God allowed this great communicator to fall silent, and not only fall silent, but to be confined to one room for a decade? Even as she goes out, even as her words still go out, even as her shows are still replayed, even as she's touching new people. And that is the mystery of God. I mean, but she would always say, you have to live in the present moment, and you have to give God all. And that surrender, he does know the best way. It isn't always the easiest way, but it's the best way. I tweeted something out the other day from Mother Teresa that I found in one of my notes, where she said, and I hope I get this right, I know you won't give me anything more than I can handle, Lord. I just wish you wouldn't give me so much to handle. And I can certainly sympathize with that sentiment on many days, and I think we all can.
You have a show, weekly show, The World Over Live. Tell us about that show.
The World Over is a weekly news magazine. We do headlines at the top, usually United States headlines as well as global headlines. And then I usually have 2 to 3 newsmakers on the show. And that can be anybody from political leaders to religious leaders to authors, directors, actors. I mean, I try to cover the whole culture. That has always been a hallmark of the show. And one of the things that I think has distinguished it in that it includes everything, parenting and the arts and music and politics as well as religion. And that has drawn a very wide audience. Only half of my audience is Catholic, by the way, which I am elated by, because what it means is you're engaging the wider mainstream audience, and that's what the show was designed to do. That's what it's done, and now others are seeking to copy it, which is nice, I guess.
We're talking to Ray Arroyo, the news director and lead anchor for EWTN. Ray, this country desperately needs courageous leaders today, and you've been talking about one after another. If there's a listener that says, I'd love to be filled with courage, but I'm afraid, what advice do you give to that person?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, we have to always, we are not going to be able to do things alone. We never can, and we're not alone. And that is all the great people that I've met, all the people who've been my heroes and have most impressed me, were usually people who their vision was much wider than themselves. And I think when people say, I can't do it, oh my gosh, this isn't, well, of course you can't do it. You're only worried about yourself. And more often than not, I think we're held back by a fear of failure, a fear of what will they say about me, a fear of our own inadequacies. That, as Mother Teresa said, and Mother Angelica had an iteration of this, we're not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful. So you have to do what you really feel deep in your heart you're being called to do by God and by your own conscience, and you have to live that consistently, because other people are watching, and God is watching, and the little thing you do may make the difference in not only the lives immediately around you, but hundreds and thousands of lives beyond them. So, our actions are so important. So much hinges on them. When you see a politician go down in disgrace because of their failings and spectacularly, and I won't run through the headlines because I'm sure your listeners are reading papers and listening to radio and television too. You see how that breaks the heart of a culture, and it leads young people to somehow believe that this behavior is acceptable and that one can even get ahead doing it, indulging in all of our appetites. I don't believe that, and I think it's destructive, and we have to focus on the good things that we're called to and try to be the good, upright people we're called to be. Mother had a great line, Mother Angelica, I'll leave you with this. She said, you have all eternity to worship God, but you have a very short amount of time to do something for him. So get cracking. And I live with that in my heart every day.
another very courageous American, and a very real American, is Timothy Cardinal Dolan. Tell us about Cardinal Dolan.
I've known Cardinal Tim from the time he was Father Tim, a long time. And he has always had that gregarious spirit, an outgoing, lovely man who truly cares for people. And again, he goes out into the streets, which is something Pope Francis has been talking about, taking the faith out to the streets, going out and engaging the whole culture. And he does it beautifully at the crossroads of the world there in New York, engaging the media, engaging the finance and the arts. I mean, he is a force of nature, something to be reckoned with. And I think Tim Dolan is just the sort of vision that we need for the church. And I know my only worry with Cardinal Dolan is he's so overwhelmed leading the bishops' conference as well as this major important diocese in the United States. But there's no doubt he is quite a spokesman for the church and a darn good one.
As our time winds down together tonight, Ray, would you give advice to our young listeners, please?
Yeah, I would tell them, you know, as I tell all young people, it's hard to figure it out when you're in the middle of things. It's hard to figure out what you're supposed to do when you're young, which is why I think it's so important to turn to your parents, to your grandparents, stay close to them, listen, and stay close to God. He really does lead you and will lead you in ways you cannot imagine and open doors you could not imagine if you stay faithful and true. But, you know, parents are often, particularly in today's society, I think, and grandparents are derided and sort of, you know, made to be jokes on the sidelines. I think the culture does young people a great disservice by characterizing them in that way. Older people are some of the great icons of my life and have changed my life significantly. Stella Adler, my first acting teacher, was 90 when I studied with her, 90. And Mother Angelica and Mother Teresa, these women were in their 70s when I met them. So the elderly have so much to teach us, and we are, it's incumbent upon us, no matter our age, to listen to them and take their wisdom along for our own journey and the journeys of our children to follow.
Ray Arroyo, you not only listened to Mother Angelica when she told you, you have to start living in the present moment. You do a fabulous job at that every day. Please keep it up.
I will try, Jack. Thank you so much for having me on.
God bless. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Believe in yourself.